truth will live to say it's you. It's only because of you. When the darkness dies away, only love will shine to say it's true. It's only because of you. It's only because of you. It's only because of you. It's only because of you.
Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, June 12, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you could send your questions to questions, that's plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. You can also support us by purchasing the books Government by Consent and Court Access in the Common Law, also found on the right-hand side of our website. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week in our scripture reading.
John?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have the code on for tonight's meeting? People are calling in. They're having trouble getting on. It's asking for a security code.
Oh, we may not have shut that off. Let me go double-check that. Let me pause this a second. Okay, we were reading through the epistles last week in the epistles of John. We're in the third epistle of John, only one chapter in the third epistle of John. So we're going to pick up there in a gospel reading read by Alexander Scorpion.
The third epistle of John. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We, therefore, ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. The end of the third epistle of John.
Okay. All right. Do we have any questions or... anything, any comments that, or announcements?
Yes, we do tonight, John. The first question, I guess, asks for a clarification. It says, so once a judge is impeached or removed, can one afterwards be able to sue them in their own individual personal capacity for just cause? If they, while a judge, had violated their oath?
Well, violating their oath, that means how they injured an individual by coming outside of their jurisdiction, outside of their authorities. And once they do that, then they become subject to a civil lawsuit. So.
Okay. Are any other counties being censored during public participation at their local elected bodies, commissions, councils, boards?
I'm not sure of the question. Censored by who? Maybe we read that. Do you understand that question?
Well, yeah, they just want to know if any of the counties are being censored. Apparently they are, wherever they came from. They didn't indicate in their question.
Well, if they're being censored, by what? They're creating a committee of safety or something?
It didn't say anything about that. They just talked about commissions, councils, and boards. So whatever they're trying to do or
I need more information to understand the question. So maybe they can ask the question again at another time.
John, I would like to ask that about the judge who comes outside of his jurisdiction, who's no longer in good behavior. You can only go after him civilly. What if he's guilty of criminal charges?
Well, then, yes, but again, you'd have to bring that to the sheriff, and the sheriff would have to then examine it and see if there's enough there to continue a further investigation, or if he's got enough evidence there that he doesn't need to continue it, but sees that there is a potential crime that had taken place, and then he can go out and call for the grand jury and seek an indictment, and then the people would have to make that decision on the bottom end.
Understood. Thank you.
All right. Jan, back
okay,
to
this
you.
Is you're going to have to. You ready for the next question, John?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, this you're going to have to visualize. I noticed this myself. Last week on the Chapter 6, Memorandums of Law, the web page you had shown or the page you had shown for the writ mandamus to the U.S. Supreme Court, and then there's about 12, 14 memorandums of law under there. People were trying to follow that, but they were looking on the website under Chapter 6, Memorandums of Law, and there's a different set of memorandums of law there. Or memorandum, yeah.
Well, that's cool.
They want to know where to get access to the ones that you have that you're talking about, because some of them aren't on that list on the website.
Well, I did go through that. They might have missed that. So let me just breeze through it a little quickly here. Memorandum of Law, Chapter 6, we're in Part C. And I think we're going to end next week, next Saturday, with Part D, and then we'll be moving into Chapter 7. But these are the memorandums of the law we originally put up here. And some of these were read because some of these were inside of the paper that we sent, which was a prerogative writ mandamus to the United States Supreme Court. And if they were updated, those would probably be more updated than the ones that are here. But I don't think there was much, if any, updating on that, because I think these were pretty much updated at my last time I've looked through them. But they would be found here, and I did show that. This is 232 pages. It includes the cover sheet to the clerk. It has the cover sheet for the paper that we served upon the United States Supreme Court with the table of contents and then the writ mandamus. And the writ mandamus was 30 pages, 20 pages. So it was 20 pages. And if you continue down, you'll find all of the memorandums directly underneath this in the order that I read them, as a matter of fact. So let's see if we get to them.
Caveat, John, nobody will be able to get to this except the people who have access to the class.
Well, that is true for this here, but there is another way to get to it, and that is on the front page, our welcome page. Okay. And if you go to our welcome page, let's see where this is at. Click here to read the mandamus to the United States Supreme Court. So let me click on that. And it gives you some, we give a little information here before we come to the actual paper. Let's see, I guess I've been putting the memorandums of law in here also. So I guess I've been reading them off and then posting them here. But you can click here and you should find, again, full 232 pages, okay, same situation. You'd get all the same paperwork until you get down to the actual mandamuses, which starts with the first one, Memorandum of Law Concerning the Abrogation of the Law of the Land. So they can be gotten off of the front page by anyone. And then, of course, we also included in the course in the place that I had mentioned here, which, again, if I just go back to it, is right here. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Any other questions or announcements, Jan?
Yes, one more. Is there actually a place that one can go and see some or all of the cases that were before a judge, along with the names of the parties, decisions, and rulings made, and it does not say what judge or, you know, a judge?
Okay, well, we had a lot of things going on. Federal court cases, if you click on our federal court cases, you'll get a lot of information and different papers that we have been filing and have filed over the years. So this may be what they're talking about. That's just the first page. Action against the judiciary would be here. And and again, this lists out lots of filings, memorandums, papers, you know, cases removed for cause, habeas corpuses, and other cases that were moved for cause. And a lot of indictments, redress of grievances, lots of memorandums, writs and informations, habeas corpuses, judicial foreclosures. These are all the papers we've been filing over the years since 2016, I believe, is when we really started filing it. Actually, we started filing in 2015, but we, and I'm not sure, I think we only were really, you know, making notice to people. We weren't filing it within the courts. I think it was 2016 is when we started filing it in the courts. And so the collection of all these papers is the evidence of their collusion and refusal to hear the people and refusal to return to the common law. And so that was the purpose of what we've been doing all these years. You know, we've gotten many complaints over the years claiming, oh, we're not getting anywhere, you're not getting any success. And that's not true, because we have had a few, and only a few, not a lot, I agree, maybe a handful. But it was never, we never thought that we'd really get lots of success. I would have been totally amazed if we started to get a lot of success, and that would have been very interesting. But the courts are gone. They're not there. Our courts are not there anymore. And so we don't have courts of justice. We have courts of injustice. But the whole purpose of this was to bring us to the end of devolution, okay? Because that's when it's going to have some power and authority. That's when we're going to start pushing it. I can use the assistance of a lot of people, everybody that is listening in on our Monday night programs and people who are coming to our classes, to try to get us some interviews. We need to get the word out. You know, we have a great Rumble page, and we have a lot of memorandums, all the memorandums that are in the case, you know, they're being recorded one at a time, and I've been posting them. I'm going to try to post maybe a couple of them this week, and I'll continue posting memorandums a couple of weeks. I don't want to post too many too quickly. and people should be led to those memorandums. And those who are interested in what we're doing here and understanding the power and the authority that we're trying to, you know, raise up from the grassroots level, and people that are really serious, not just the complainers, and will participate in doing something to fix this problem that we have by participating.
And that's the last question tonight, John.
Okay. And no, I wanted to say something else, but I got a cough button now. I got a real bad virus. It's not a cold. I went to the doctors. They told me it was a virus. But it feels like a cold. And anyway, this new headset should help me, hopefully. You don't hear any background noise in this, do you? Jan, or?
I don't.
No, I don't. No. I don't know.
This is supposed to be a higher quality one to really prevent any background noise from leaking in. So hopefully it's going to work a lot better, and it has a mute button. You know, one of the problems I had, especially with the class, was once I activated the PowerPoint that I would use for the, you know, to teach the lesson, I would have that program going, and then I would have a start meeting going. And if I went to mute myself on start meeting, it immediately shut down the program. So I really couldn't mute myself, and that was a problem. Anyway, hopefully that's all fixed now, now that I can do that without having to click that button. Anyway, anybody that can help us to get interviews, you know, especially a lot of podcasts out there, news programs, X22 is a news program, for instance, and they do interviews. You know, Dave does interviews over there. That guy I've been trying to get a hold of for well over a year, maybe 2 years. I just can't get his attention, so I don't know how we might reach him. We also need people to spread the word of what we're doing, get it out there, get it out onto different social medias. We're looking for people who have a background in working in these social medias that are participating in a regular level, you know, regular, you know, whatever, you know, constantly working on those things, where they can take our message out there. You know, we can kind of brainstorm some short messages and make a list of them, and then try to get those messages out onto the different social medias out there. You know, maybe drop something every day. Some people who might be involved in some good conversations. I know X22 often speaks of different conversations, brings it into the news of what's going on, and if we can kind of get into those conversations with our National Liberty Alliance name and put our two cents out there. You know, again, that'll get us a lot of attention. You know, the message that we have requires activity, and most people just don't get active. And no matter what we do, no matter what we say, they just don't get active. Sometimes as time goes on, some people, you know, kind of wake up and get active and realize what we're doing and they need to do something. We have been to some places where I've spent a lot of time and got into deep information, and Gerard has also, and we haven't got much response from those people. They appear to be active. They complain a lot. They post a lot, and they get a lot of news. But when we ask them to come, hey, let's go do something about it. Let's have government by consent. National Liberty Alliance teaches government by consent right off the grassroots level. Then they don't respond. So the point I'm trying to make is that in order to hit critical mass, we have to get a message out to the millions, or at least a million. If we can reach a million people, and if we pull 1%, we got it. That's all we need. 1% of a million will be unbelievable. We have 3,000 counties. 3,134, I think, to be exact, but some counties doesn't have many people in it. But let's say 3,000 counties. 10 people would be 30,000, 20 people would be 60,000, 40 people would be 120,000. So 120,000 people, if we were to pull in 120,000 people, get that message out to a million people, and 120,000 people respond, that's an average of 40 people per county. That's huge. We would take that back this nation literally overnight. If we're all doing what we had to do in our own counties, working the business of the people, requiring government by consent and putting these people's feet to the fire, from the lowest level, the dog catcher, all the way up to Congress and our governors and all our representatives. 40 people in a county would grow unbelievable, just as soon as you start your school district, dealing with your school district problems. because you'd be making contact with individuals within a particular school district to let the people know in that district. And we can get those addresses from real property, and it can come out on labels, or we can get electronically, however we want them. And then we can create a postcard type thing, a very simple message, letting them know that, hey, you know, there are some major problems in the school. We're getting together here in the school district to discuss them. Come on down to the meeting. We're going to meet at a certain date, a certain time. You know, all are welcome. Let's talk about things. And then we're going to go to the board, and we're going to require them to be obedient to we the people. And of course, a lot of parents, we're really searching out to get a lot of the parents. They'll come. You'll get people who are not parents. You'll get people who are grandparents, people who are uncles or aunts. I mean, you're going to get a lot of people in this. And so if you get a lot of people from that point, that place, that perspective, to come to that meeting, to prepare to go talk to that particular school board, and this is just one, you know, one school district, because in every county there's this huge numbers of school districts. You know, you got, and you got the different levels. You got the grammar school, you got the high school, and you got the universities and colleges. So, you know, it's every time you hit it, you're gonna double or triple your membership. You know, if you got 40 people, you're gonna go turn to 80, you can turn to 120, 240. I mean, you get that kind of numbers working, okay? Then you're gonna be able to get a lot of business done. You know, many hands make light work, and that's what we need to do. And there is no limit to the number of people that can join in to become a committee man and to the committee's safety. But again, the key thing is to come together, you know, in that particular area, let's say the educational area. I strongly suggest the first two committees to say, the first two subcommittees to start is the educational committee and of course the committee of correspondence. And a committee of correspondence can be one person, or it could be two people, or four people, as many as you want, but really you don't need a lot, okay? Because basically they'll attend other meetings on behalf of the entire committee, and anybody can come to our meetings. We're going to have a special Monday night meeting once a month, first Monday of the month. We're going to try to start this in July. So coming July's first Monday, we're going to try to focus in on an issue. And then we'll try to have an issue once a month, maybe two issues in a particular month. But an issue concerning a national issue, something that we all need to think about, and we can brainstorm and come up with potential solutions, maybe more than one solution. And that would be the people who attend that would be the Committee of Correspondence, the chairman of the Committee of Correspondence within the Committee of Safety. You know, and again, anybody in the Committee of Safety can come. I mean, the more the merrier. We need to also, that person is also responsible for bringing the information to the full committee of all the education that we have going on up here at National Liberty Alliance to get everyone involved and hitting helping us to hit critical mass, because hitting critical mass will definitely bring us to the point of professionalism. You know, we'll be able to pay the people, hire people full-time to do the jobs that we need to get done. We need about 20 people to really get the job done here at the national level, maybe even as many as 30, but I don't think we need that many, but there could be that many at some point in time, but that would mean that we'd be growing and pulling a lot of income in at that point, you know, to do this. You know, so, I mean, we have 10,000 members right now, but there's only a small percentage of people that really are active. You know, I try often to put as many messages out as I can from time to time to try to encourage people to respond, to assist, to help, and join a committee of safety. So the committee of correspondence is an extremely important one, and again, it doesn't take more than one person really, and eventually get more, they'll be able to become active right away. The other thing, of course, is the second committee, subcommittee that I would suggest strongly to start is the school one, education, for a number of reasons. Number one, we've lost an entire generation. I don't even know, we probably lost a couple of generations. I don't know if we can even retrieve at least this present generation back. I mean, they've been so damaged in what they've been learning in school. And, I listen to even people in college. They have no clue of anything. They don't know the difference between the Revolutionary War and a Civil War. They don't even know who we fought. I mean, it's really ridiculous. They know nothing about our founding fathers. They haven't a clue about law or common law. They don't know anything. They don't know what a republic is and what a democracy is anyway. Well, they all know, seem to know what democracy is. You know, it's just a mob rule. You know, the majority votes and decides. That's what a democracy is. We're certainly not a democracy. I find it very depressing on how many people believe that we're a democracy. Every single day I just get sick to my stomach. Because tonight, just, you know, I took a little break for about a half hour, watched a little news, because I've been working all day, and people who are, you know, putting out a good news are constantly hearing calling us a democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a republic, and we're the only common law republic in the world, second only in over 4,000 years. Over 4,000 years. And prior to 4,000 years, there wasn't one. There was only two. And the United States is the second one. You know, we have a situation here out west where we have Yellowstone. It's a large volcano. It's a super volcano. And I'm sure everybody's heard in the news. They shut it down. It's been shut down for a couple of weeks now, 10 days or something like that. And they're really concerned because there's been large, huge movements in a very short period of time of many, many square miles of land actually lifting up. And, you know, this has been going on for a long time, but not as quick and not as often as it's going on right now. And there is a danger. Some people are talking about this thing might explode. And if it explodes, the United States of America is gone. It's not here no more. And our enemies, and whatever would be left, our enemies would do us in immediately. We'd be gone. Everything that our founding fathers built and put together would be gone. And that brings us to a humble position. You know, if ever we needed God in our lives and in what we're doing, it's now. The founding fathers felt that way. I feel that way right now. I mean, you know, nations are judged by calamities. The founding fathers spoke about that. And our nation has fallen away so far. But I do see a revival, and hopefully it's going to build up, and we need to do what has to be done. But anyway, going back to the messages, getting the messages out, we have to get the message out. We have to hit critical mass, and we have to do it soon. We have to get educated. And the course that we're given here, Court Access in the Common Law, even if you have no interest in the law as far as going into courts, the course is extremely important because it teaches the common law. And our heritage is in the law. And if you don't know the law, you don't know your true liberties. You don't know how to protect your liberties. You don't know half of your liberties. And of course, you don't know how to defend them or protect them. So it's extremely important to know these things. Now, we have lots of information on the website, and it is true that you can get a full education just by going through our website. After all, we have the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. I've been going through them a lot lately, and, you know, it's an education in itself. It really expounds and exposes what the attitudes were, and you can see the enemies in the conversation. You know, it's a little hard to see, but knowing that they're there, listening to some of the comments that our founding fathers had made outside of the Federalist Papers, and maybe some statements made inside the Federalist or the Anti-Federalist Papers, expounding on the fact that the enemy was already in the camp. Right in the beginning, during the creating of this nation. And And it's been the Democrats, and this is, you know, people don't know this, but it's been the Democrats who have been here all along. The whole process was to bring us to a democracy, to get rid of this republic from day one, from the very beginning. And it started off with what was called the Federalists. They seized control of the of what was called being called the Federalists, and tried to make opposition to what was being called, you know, the Republicans. And but the Republican Party didn't start until right before Lincoln became president. But in the turn of the 19th century, I think around 1818, around there, very early on. No, matter of fact, earlier than that, I think it was 1803. The Democratic Party came into being, and it was the Federalists who morphed into the Democratic Party, and that whole process was to destroy the Republic, the whole purpose, and to maintain slavery, and they really have pulled the wool over the black people's eyes, not realizing this, because it's always been them. The Republican Party was started; its main purpose was to get rid of slavery, to finally end it. Lincoln speaks about this, and there are others. There's conversations going on during that time that the Republican Party was working to get rid of slavery, and Lincoln became the first, and that was only a year or two before Lincoln became president. He was the first Republican president, and he accomplished the goal. And he spoke about the accomplishment of that goal and how he knew and saw how the Founding Fathers worked to get rid of slavery, and how that it was never part of who we were, and they even hid it. It's hard to find it in the Constitution, but they hid it. And, Jefferson said, we're going to pay for this, you know. And you know, a lot of things could have been solved back in that day, but, you know, just one person prevented it all in Virginia. And Jefferson speaks about this, that it could have been solved back then. But it wasn't. And we need to understand these things, But going back to our heritage is in the law, okay? And our inheritance is liberty. And if you don't know the law, you cannot defend it, and you cannot know it. End of subject. Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. Well, he didn't put it that way, but he said, they expect what never was and never will be. So people can just forget about it. You can't have it. You just, it's not for you to have. Be ignorant, you can't have liberty. Be ignorant, you can't have a republic. Be ignorant, you cannot have government by consent. So we need to get this message out. We need to grow. And again, I want to say the way we grow is by bringing friends, bringing neighbors, bringing family to these meetings. Getting them out to NLA, letting them see what we're doing. Get them to look at our front page, to watch the videos on our front page. Take them to our Rumble page. Find contacts of people that can interview us here. I need to get as many interviews as possible. Again, podcasts, news stations that do interviews, anything. That's how we're going to win this thing. So it's up to everybody to get together to do their job to make this happen. Many hands make light work. All right, with that, okay, we have no announcements, right, Jan? I'm going to move over to Q&A, I guess. Okay, we do have people in the queue, so I guess we'll just go over the queue. Take our first call.
No.
I'm sorry.
I talked to every single one of them. They were lied to.
Brock, you got the mic.
They were
right
at jobs. They were going to get certain things changed.
Could you lower the background noise or maybe go to another?
I can't. My computer's in the
main room. I logged in by a code instead of waiting for you to discharge it.
A little too loud.
I logged in as with a code. I haven't exited out.
Oh, you came in with a code, you mean?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, we forgot to turn the code off, and we did turn it on off after we had started. The code should be off right now.
See, you want someone to do Facebook for you?
I'm not getting someone what?
Oh, you want someone to do like messages on Facebook to recruit more people? Or?
Right.
Right.
People who will go out and start to put messages out on Facebook and all the different social media, Instagram, I mean, there's lots of them out. So anybody interested in doing that, we'll make a list of things that we'd like to get out there. And anybody who's willing to do that, if you just let Dan know I'm willing to do that, we'll do a special list, and what'll happen is we'll send out emails to those who are on the special list of different messages we'd like to get out. And of course, people can say whatever they want about National Liberty Alliance. Other people, but there are certain things we would like to get out and spread out. I mean, look, one of the biggest ones is the government consent. That's a big one. People need to learn that we're Republican and really Republican kids. People need to understand the difference between the law of the land and what we need to do.
And you know what? For the grace of God, no one else has ever made a mistake.
You could have signed a message. Okay.
I just have a heart. See, and you still need a. I was probably saw a community safe so soon. I don't know when, because how I do a message to people who are domiciled in. Clackamas County outside of National Liberty Alliance to get them to join National Liberty Alliance.
I didn't get all that, but outside of National Liberty Alliance?
Yes.
What was that?
I was just saying, because I tried people who on the list of National Liberty Alliance, and none of them responded to my text about the organizing the community safety.
Yeah, I would not expect many people to respond. But again, that's why we need to get the message out to many people. Because, in those environments, you're also dealing with a lot of people who don't even have a clue of what they've done, that they lack certain knowledge or. They don't even think about government by consent. They don't think about the fact that we're not a democracy. And of course, some of them don't even pay attention to the news. So, those people are not going to respond at all. And some people will respond that just want to complain anyway, and that isn't what it is. I will not get into any argument. But it's the remnant that you're told. And if everyone's doing that, we're all pulling a remnant. Eventually, that becomes the community. That's the key. That's the way we're going to have this critical mass. We must hit critical mass. And the only way we're going to hit critical mass is get our message out to the masses. Again, at least a million people we need to get our message out to. And like I said, if we get 1% response, we're looking at 30, 40 people coming in at an average in each county committing safety, and that would be huge. So quickly bring us to where we need to be, literally overnight. We need to get critical mass.
Okay. I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next question. Anthony.
Yes. Mike. John, how are you?
Good. Yourself?
I'm back. My friends and I, we constituted West Virginia back in, 2014?
Yep, It was quite some time ago. Yep.
Yep. And I did go to school, and I'm through with my schooling now, and just fed up, and I look around, and it still seems to me that NLA has the process where we can take this country back. And so I'm just getting my feet wet again.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is no doubt about that statement you made. The NLA has the process to take this nation back. And it's what our founding fathers put together. All we're doing is learning about them and doing what they did. We have the same problem they have. Okay, and it's time to really take it back. But we have something a little better that they didn't have. You know, we got the internet. You know, if something can happen, and in 10 minutes, the whole world could know about it. You know, they didn't have that. They would have to sometimes travel literally for a week or two in a carriage, a horse and buggy or something, to get to a meeting, to do things. And, you know, it would take, goodness, going overseas, it would take a month, 5-6 weeks maybe. And but today, you know, we can travel around the world. We can travel to the other side of the world literally in a day. And we can get anywhere within our nation literally within hours, and, you know, by plane and locally by vehicle. You know, it's nothing to drive 60 miles to a meeting if that's what you had to do. And a few people would have to do that, but, you know, it's nothing to do that if you had to. And we have a website. You know, we have the internet, the ability to put all of this information up on one website. And we have a lot of stuff up there. It would take a few lifetimes to go through everything that we have. But we have a great education, and we have a breadcrumb trail leading people on a way to get to the most important education that they need. And education is necessary in order to be able to do what we need to do, that is to have government by consent. And the interesting thing, and anybody that's in the course, or even as we teach things in other places and other ways, no matter how we do it, maybe on Rumble or sometimes right here on the Monday night programs and so on and so forth, the interesting thing about common law is that it's common sense. It's that simple. It doesn't get any more difficult than common sense. It's what we have lost. It is what they have worked overtime to destroy. They destroy the common sense of the people. But it's easy to get it back because it's all common sense. And that's what common law is. It's maxims, undeniable truths, obvious things. And so as we look through all these things, and you can see them very quickly, like we read through the memorandums, we've read through a lot of different things. You know, the introduction was quite a few parts. Introduction in our court access in the common law course, that is. But every part of it was digestible very easily and quickly because it's easy to agree with. It's common sense. It's written in the hearts of men, ultimately, and you can't deny these things. So it's not difficult. Right. And you don't have to remember these things. You just have to understand them. Once you have the understanding, you have the basic framework within your brain, within your mind, to realize what needs to be done. And, of course, the more you spend, more time you spend with it, the more articulate you could be with these things. And, you know, it just spills out of your mouth, and you don't really much think about it. And again, that depends on how much time you spend with it. But the general idea is fairly simple. But go ahead.
Okay. It is. I am told, and I forget where I got this information, but your name, John Darish, is that a writing name? Do you use your real name?
No, that's a pen name, and I've had that name for 40 years. I think it's been 40 years. I came onto the internet very early on. I think it was 1990, and so that's what it was like kind of in the beginning. And I chose a screen name, Darash, John Darash. It's a Hebrew word. I got it out of the
book. I looked it up.
Yeah. So you tell me what it means, and I'll let you know.
I think I forgot what it meant, but I did look it up. It's a very good meaning, though. It's a very good meaning.
Seeker of truth was the meaning.
My message is, I don't really have a question. My message is, I'm looking forward to working with you guys again. And if you could put me on the the district? You were having a special meeting.
You send an email to Jan, J-A-N.
I did. He should have it.
Okay. And did you put your phone number in there?
No. But my phone number is, I'm still a member. I've been supporting you all along, man.
Okay. Well, then we'll find you. Yeah. And Jan will get a hold.
I'm West Virginia, Anthony, West Virginia. And you'll be able to find me.
We've got access to all the membership.
I'm an administrator.
Okay. All right. I'm listed as an
administrator, and I was going to see if I could finish taking my test, but I couldn't find a test. I've only taken about 30% of that that course, but I'm still listed as an administrator, but not as having completed the course.
Okay. Yeah, anybody that wants to be an administrator, which is a paid position working with the juries within your counties, and you can work in the county next door. You don't have to work in the same county you live in. If the courthouse is closer to you, in another county, you can go there if you want, doesn't matter. We're looking for jury administrators, and the main purpose is to orientate the juries properly and to assist them. And we need a paralegal who also needs to be an administrator, but four administrators and one paralegal, so to be able to write the necessary papers. And everyone can learn how to write the papers for the jury. You know, particularly the grand jury, of course, because the paralegal can teach everybody. In any event, it's a full-time job. It's a paid position, and we need five people in every county, four individuals that have taken the course, and then one paralegal who's also taken the course, five in each county. So we got 3,000 counties, roughly speaking, times five. We need 15,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take the political animals that control it, the judges and the bar attorneys. They're called commissioners or something of that nature. And they have different names in different states.
Magistrates.
We need to get rid of them, and the people need to take over, unconnected, not political, not active in the politicking. We all need to be active in the political process. Everybody needs to be that, but not in the politicking, joining a party one group argues against another group, and they're all arguing things they don't need to be arguing because we already, gave the orders and laid out the necessary work and jurisdictions and authorities in the Constitution. It's already done.
That's right. We need to keep their feet to the fire, and right now there's no process for it to do it, and that's what's being built here through NLA is a process where you can keep their feet to the fire.
That's correct, and it's a process that our founding fathers used, and it's a process that we just have to resurrect the system, and that's what this whole thing is all about. There is no other way.
To keep my calls short, I don't want to take everybody's time. I did get our seals. I got both seals for the state of West Virginia. I have that all in my possession again, and we can take it from here. Just keep in touch. I'll shoot Jan my phone number just to make sure he has it. And I really don't have anything else for today. I'm just looking forward to doing some work, getting some things done.
All right, we appreciate that. And I just want to make a note. The purpose of the seals, and for those who aren't aware of this, people have come in at a later time. We run around the entire nation. There was numerous people involved with this, and we tried to approach every county, and I think we came very close. But we definitely went through every state and most counties in every state, and just got meetings together talking about really what we're doing as far as the juries are concerned. So we developed and created each state, working through their counties, developed and created the unified state common law grand jury. So it would be unified New York common law grand jury, unified New Jersey, unified Texas, unified West Virginia, unified Montana. So every state, all 50 states, including Alaska, Hawaii, who we did this in. And then they, every state came together to build what's called the unified state common law grand jury. So we all came together, and the whole thing and the whole purpose was to come together to create the unified United States common law grand jury. And once that was accomplished, then we started filing papers in the court, and we really became very active in that in 2016. And as we looked a little earlier tonight, we saw a lot of the papers, you know, just a page after page after page of all the papers. And the purpose of that was to prove the fact that there was a conspiracy and that all these judges were working together and they all did the same crime and did the same thing, no matter what county and what state they were in. We did have a few successes, but only a few, a handful. But most everything else they've ignored, and all of this was for the sole purpose of building evidence. We did ask that all of the state grand juries, common law grand juries, not become active. We did it to become collective, so that we can say we're not just we're not just from New Jersey. No, we're for every state in the union. We have come together with that purpose as a grand jury to deal with enemies, both foreign and domestic, and to bring this nation back to the republic that it needs to be, and to get rid of all these tyrants that have taken control, seized control of every aspect of our life. Well, over time, we came to realize that we realized this very early, okay? And then when Trump became president and devolution came into play, we started to realize that was our goal. But the other side of devolution is where we need to get to, and we need to build a case against the federal judiciary, particularly, to take back the federal courts. And I believe we accomplished that, but it's not going to truly be accomplished until we get to the other side of devolution, and then the work we've done will be applied. And then we will have justice back in the federal courts. And then we can force every state of this union to return to the common law and open the doors of justice again so that people can come in and get due process, and which is an unalienable right to have access to the courts without charge. We've already paid the bills. We've already paid for the building. We've paid for everything, any expense that any courthouse has. We paid for that. We paid for the computers. We paid for all of the help, the secretaries. We paid for it all. It's already done. Why are you asking me for money? That's an unalienable right. I don't need to pay for anything. It's an unalienable right. Don't ask me for money. I'm coming in to get my court of justice. And so this has always been our plan. From time to time, we tried to explain this a little bit here, a little bit there. Some people get it and some people haven't, but hopefully, more people are getting it and realizing the work we've been doing, and that we have not lost. We've won because we've made the case. And reading the last paper that we filed will make that point very clear, in my opinion, because the 18 memorandums we wrote are the 18 things that the United States Supreme Court needs to bring back and execute and send writ mandamuses down to all of the courts beneath them in a commandment to return to the common law and to be obedient to all of these things in order to open up courts of record. There are 18 things that need to be done to do that, and we've covered them again in that paper. So and of course now politically we're purpose of the grand, committees of safety. They're the true committeemen to take total control of the political process as far as the elections are concerned. The committeemen need to be within their election districts as observers and require that the counting of the votes take place in the election district. not to collect all this stuff and bring it up into a county level and then try to count them. No, not at all. No. It's supposed to be counted right there in the election district right after the election.
Right.
And it needs to be paper looked at. And there's a process. There's a process laid out. Robert Schultz found a process that goes back in history and laid it out. And I don't know whether we actually laid that out in our book. I think we did. In our handbook for the committee, the committee man handbook for the Committee of Safety. But there is a process to do this, and we need to kind of sign off on it. We, the people, we need to observe the counting of the vote and say, yes, it was done properly, and we need to sign off on it as they send it up into the counties and record it where everyone can see the recording, and you can go up and see, yep, they got my numbers right on my county, you know, and that's the only way we're really going to get proper election.
Yeah, I still think, Robert, I think his articles of freedom are the best. What you guys put together, you were part of that, weren't you? Did you go to the convention of states?
No, I did a polling in the in Poughkeepsie here, where we elected our representative to send them to the Continental Congress, and
right.
I think 48 states came together.
48 states is correct. Yeah. You know, I couldn't find the Articles of Freedom last time I looked on your website. I downloaded them from your website before, and I've got them in one of my old computers or one of my old computer hard drives, but I don't know which one it is. So I tried to download it again, and I couldn't find I couldn't find the Articles of Freedom on your website again.
Yeah, it should be here underneath Education Starts Here. It could be
okay.
Under
Articles. I'll look for it there again.
Let's see, maybe under Articles and Essays. It may be in this list. If you look through it, I'm sure it is in this list. What was the title of it? Articles of Freedom?
Articles of Freedom. Right.
Yeah, here it is. The Articles of Freedom we have here.
This good. You still have it. Because I'm on Gab. I'm on Facebook. I do mostly Gab, and I still keep in touch with some of my Facebook friends by shooting up at what I think are important headlines from that Facebook will never see. And so I repost some of the headlines I see on Gab through to my Facebook friends. And I lost a link for that. So now I'll find it again, and I like to share those kinds of things. And, you know, most people ignore it. You know, people are so... They're just so sleep. They're such a we. You know, people are sleeping. They don't know, and they're waking up. They're starting to wake up.
Yep,
and I think I've heard you say that we need to talk to people one on one. You can't do it by sending emails and stuff. You can't hope to get their attention. I mean, I must delete at least 100 emails a day.
Yeah.
And so, but it's one-on-one. It's our friends, you know. And we need to get trusted people. We need to get trusted people in these positions. People that people that want to work, we can put them to work. But, you know, the 13 colonies, the 13 colonies, they all had their constitution. And everyone stated that anyone who works for the state had to be a born-again Christian. You had to know the Lord. I mean, you could have been Catholic, you could have been, but you had to know the Lord. And how have we gotten where we are today if every one of those people who ever got a job working for a state or the federal government was born-again Christian and lived that life? We have to filter out. We have to filter out the cheaters. We have to filter out. We need honest Christian people running this government, because who was it? Was it John Adams that said our Constitution is only made for a moral and religious people? And in his day, religion meant that you were born again. It didn't mean any religion. Our freedom of religion doesn't have anything to do with Wicca. Our freedom of religion has to do with the term religion meant for Christian people. And freedom of religion, the practice, freedom of religion, meant Christians practicing the Christian religion. That's how I read that, you know. And so anyway, these cheating people found ways into our government to turn it into what it is today. And the people had, you know, they put us to sleep.
Well, absolutely. Look, at they removed Christ from Christmas when I was a child. I saw it happening. I kind of, because I heard the adults talk about it, of course, and I was seeing it. And after it happened, you know, Xmas. Christmas became Xmas. And that might have been place even before my time, you know, because they've been working at this a long time. But I'd like to make a better statement than knowing the Lord, or at least knowing of the Lord. Some people are atheists. Our founding fathers had some atheists. They had some Muslims. They had Jews. They had other people. Not many, but there were a few. And they were accepted, and they participated. And remember that God said he wrote his law in the hearts of men. Okay? That's what he did. He wrote them in the hearts. So when truth rings out, when truth is spoken and heard or seen, it rings out. And people know it. Doesn't matter who you are. And God speaks about this, saying, you know, you could be an atheist. You could be, you know, he referred in the Bible, of course, as Gentiles. You could be non-believers. It doesn't matter. They know the law. He put it in their heart. When it's heard, they know it. Everybody knows the truth. Now, of course, some people, you know, are, you know, they have serious mental illnesses or something that prevents them
from
totally get lost and things of that nature. But generally speaking, people know it. And, you know, the big thing is when I get a sign on the door of my office, a big bear with his hands up saying, I don't want to hear it, you know, and because that is the attitude of people. They don't want to hear the truth. And, you know, that's their prerogative. That's fine. But when you're coming into an office and you're going to represent the people and you're going to fill a position maybe as a judge, you know, you have to apply the law of the land, and that's that. And so there's lots of examples in the Bible about this, especially in the Old Testament, where the people wanted to dwell with Israel because of the government that they had, the freedom, the liberty that they had, and they'd leave their own nations to join up as they wandered through the wilderness.
They were called strangers. They were called strangers, and strangers that were living with them, they were afforded the same
liberties.
You know, right, exactly.
Don't disrupt what we put together, because this is what works, and that was the point. And they didn't. Well, eventually they did, I'm sure, because we did lose it. They did lose it. You know, back in David's day, it was completely almost gone at that point after David. You know, we talk about the lost tribes of Israel, and it's recorded in the Bible how they were broken up and so on and so forth. But our founding fathers referred to us as the new Israel. And the Bible speaks about the new Israel. They said, that's us. That's who we are. And of course, I see it. I believe it myself. So, but people don't have to believe it. That's okay. Just be willing to, if you want our liberties, you have to accept our law, and the law is written in your heart anyway. And that's as simple as that. It doesn't have to get any more complex. Everybody knows. So when a jury comes together, they're a mixture of all kinds of people. They hear the stories. They hear the consistencies or the inconsistencies. They know right from wrong. They should hold up justice above the law. You know, the law may say one thing. Justice must prevail, though, because all laws are not necessarily especially man-made laws, of course, you know, they're not necessarily just, which is only applied in certain situations anyway, not to the general public anyway. But we've lost all that. We're under civil law. We don't have common law. We don't have our liberties. We really don't have them. So,
well, I'm with you. We still have our structure. I've heard you say this before as well. I mean, all we need to do is get rid of the chaff and put honest people back to work in our government. And our government will run just fine. It'll run like a fine-tuned Swiss clock if we have the right people.
Yeah, we need statesmen. That's what we need. You know,
Exactly.
I was listening to Trump's speech over the weekend. I think it was in Georgia or something. And one of the things he was talking about not being a politician, and he said, well, you know what? I am the president, or I was the president, I guess I am a politician now. And the words he really needed was, I'm a statesman. That's what
he said that. He said that, I think, sometime when he was in his acceptance speech, he said something like that. And I was shouting right back to him. I said, you're a statesman.
There you go. Yeah, well, he said.
And I wrote, anyway, I've been trying to communicate with the man, especially early on. But I don't know if he's ever got any of my messages.
Yeah, I can't reach him either. I send him books so they get back to me, and someone is preventing things from getting to him. I sent him papers. They don't go to him, so I stopped trying.
I posted on one of my internet sites, which is down right now, I posted an open letter to the president before the election. And he did everything that I said he should do in my open letter, only he didn't stay in office. The last thing I put in my open letter was that he stays in office until the election is secure and we know there's no vote fraud, that he sets a precedent by staying in office, just like Lincoln did. I mean, Lincoln set a precedent. And he jailed some state's congressmen so they wouldn't vote to stay out of the union. Remember that one?
Yeah, well, people wouldn't be able to see this, though. That's the problem. And look, this is all part of the plan. I'm convinced of that. He left office as part of the plan. Look, he even said this after he left office.
That was the reply. I've heard that reply. You really think that's true, John?
Oh, no doubt in my mind. He's still... In my opinion,
help me to understand that, because I have not been able to understand that.
In my opinion, he's still the president of the United States. Like in Lincoln,
yes,
State,
he is.
The president. There's a war going on, and he's a president behind the scenes, dealing with the military, watching, collecting evidence, collecting information, dealing with all these things. Look, you think he's unaware of the fact that they're coming out after him? He knew all along they were going to come after and try to indict him. He knew that, and here's the second potential indictment, you know. And I'll tell you, to get a good picture of this, let me get on, if you're watching on my desktop here, if I can get my mouse to do what I want it to do, come on to today's issues. Anarchy USA is good. It really helps you to see what's going on with the Democratic Party and how evil they really have been. And it's not that every Democrat is evil, but the people who are running the whole thing, you know, they're the ones that's evil. It's the leadership, and they're capturing people because they control, you know, the messages that go out to them. But anyway, Anarchy USA will help. Come down to Devolution. Devolution will help. This is all under today's issues. You can come down to New World Order. That'll help give you a good, better picture. You come down. Let's see. There's another one I believe in here. Today's issues. Christianity in America. And America is an extremely important one, in my opinion, too. Let me see if I can get this up. Why aren't I getting this up? They have to.
So where am I then? I am on the website now. I have the welcome page. Where's my desktop? How do I get to the desktop?
Well, are you watching my desktop? You're on a phone, aren't you?
No, I'm on a phone right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, if you were coming in on an app or a browser on your computer, you'd see this, but because I'm sharing my desktop. Come under today's issues. You see the...
I have a Linux computer, so... I couldn't run an app. You didn't have an app for Linux.
No, you come in on a browser. Okay, you can come in on your browser. Okay, there's instructions on how to do that under a Monday call. But the thing is, on the blue bar, you'll see today's issues. Highlight today's issues, and you'll find a lot of...
Yeah, there it is. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Particularly come down to Devolution. Okay, you want to watch a lot of those videos. And I'll tell you what, you know, I played this video, some videos here on electronic magnetic pulse protection, and I played some of these videos earlier on Saturday's program. We only had a couple of people in here that saw it. People really need to be paying attention to this, because we could have an electromagnetic pulse.
Yeah, yeah.
EMP. Mm-hmm. It could be caused by the sun. And it could be caused by a nuclear blast in our atmosphere in order to shut down communications. And you need to protect your home. You need to protect your computers. You need, because I was rattling my brain trying to figure a way to build what they call them, cages. The
Faraday cage.
Faraday cage. Okay. I was going to do one in my closet, and I was going to do around my. I built a little closet outside next to a little building I built for the kids, and now we just store cool stuff. But anyway, I built this little room where I have my generator in there, and I was going to make that into a
Faraday cage, yeah.
Faraday.
It's like. Your Faraday cage, yeah, I'm not sure how you spell it, but I think it's with an F, and it's called Faraday cage. It's like when you go to a building and you can't use your cell phone, that becomes a Faraday cage because of the kind of roof they have or whatever like that, or maybe inside the building there's certain walls and you can't get a call out. That's called a Faraday cage.
Okay, that's what I was looking to do. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe there's something out there. And then I found on, you can buy on Amazon very cheap these bags, and they're like, you can put your laptop into it, you can put hard drives into it, you can put your phones into it. You know, if you're paying attention, if the sun hits out an EMP that's going to be destructive, we know about a day before it actually hits us. It takes that long to get to us, about 20 hours, 24 hours. So you'll get the word out. You won't get the word out if someone was to blow an atomic bomb in our atmosphere. Three atomic bombs, well put, can take down the entire United States. Okay, but anyway, this EMP shield, I can tell you that our electrical grid is already protected with EMP shields. That's done. Trump worked, fixed that, and executed that problem in 2017 when he first came in. The program was accomplished as far as creating the necessary, what would you call technology, in order to protect our grid, and that was perfected by 2019. And in 2019, the company that's selling these things, you'll find them on this page here. That company got the contract, and now the electrical companies were to notify the people of the danger so that they can realize and know that they can protect their homes. Because the grid is protected, your home is not. Okay? And if we get hit with an EMP, your home's going to fry. Everything in your computer is gone. Just gone. It's toast. Forget about it. Your cell phone's gone. Most vehicles, especially the newer ones, gone. You won't be able to drive your car. Generators, gone. Nothing will work. Nothing will work. So you need to
Do you think that'll affect the distributor in a 1973 Cadillac?
You know, it might not. That's the thing. The older people can get away with this stuff. So.
I still own a 1973 Cadillac.
Anyway.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
This is an EMP shield right here. I got one on my electric box. I installed it myself. If you don't understand electricity, you want to get an electrician to come in. It's 15 minutes to put it in, so what are you going to pay the guy an hour's worth of work? It's fine. Just pay it. But, you know, it's only about $300 each one of these units. And I put one on my electric box just like this, okay? And I put one in my car. They sell them for the car. It's similar to this. It pretty much looks the same for the car. And then I bought one for my generator. Now, my generator is battery, it's a battery start. So I don't know if you don't have a battery start, I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how your generator would, you'd be able to pull, you could pull it like a lawnmower, of course. But anyway, mine's a battery. I got a battery attached to it, so it's constantly charged up and it protects the system. So my car, the generator, my house is protected.
So you got one of those Generac things I'm looking at here? Is it a Generac?
No, I don't have a Generac. I don't think it's called that. Let me see. I don't even see it here. Where is it? Where do you see it?
I'm just looking down under solar storms.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No need for a Faraday cage.
It is
an F-A-R-A-D-Y, just like it sounds.
All right. Yep, there it is, Faraday cage. Yeah, I have. I don't have a Generac, but I do have a generator that runs my entire house, and it's got a battery on it, so it's a push button start. I just have to go out every 3 or 4 months or so, make sure, you know, battery's charged up and things are well.
Yeah.
But anyway, people need to think about this. You know, the other thing is the internet's going to be fried. If you have those coins, what do they call those coins?
The digital coins. The Bitcoins.
If we get hit with one and it's a worldwide one, Bitcoins are gone. Everything's just gone. They're just gonna. Okay, because
you never hear that about Bitcoins. People are selling Bitcoins. They never tell you that.
Well, it's a ripoff, in my opinion. Okay, it's no different. It is backed by nothing. Anything backed by nothing in history fails. That's backed by nothing. The whole thing, the people that came in the beginning, they're the ones that made the big money. You know, they bought it dirt cheap, and now it's worth, huge amounts of money. But in any event, our website, we spent a lot of time building this website. It's just filled. I mean, I have all this stuff on my computer, and I've got numerous hard drives that are not attached to my computer that I back up all the time and put into these little bags. I'm connected to the internet anyway. I mean, my computers are connected through the electrical grid anyway because it's plugged in and it is connected to my house, which is protected, so that should be okay too. But the thing is, I got to talk with the people who give us the access, the internet access, and they have all of our information up there, on their servers. And they need to be protected because they get hit, they can lose everything. So we're working on right now to download our entire, system here. And just keep them up to date, once a week. I know Terry's going to do it once a week. I'll do it once a week. We'll alternate the days. And we'll always have a copy of the website, so if everything goes down, we'll be able to put it back up quickly because we'll have a copy of it. But a lot of things will be lost if we get hit with an EMP. Huge, huge problem. So
that even they'll even be destroyed if the hard drive is not plugged into anything.
If the hard drive's not plugged in, it's going to be destroyed. If you got hard drives that you do backups, I got hard drive backups in my computer. I got like 6 hard drives on my computer.
Yeah.
And I'm redundant with my backups. And then I got 3 other hard drives that I back up my computer with. Well, actually 2, because one is I'm going to be using for the website. And then I put them in a Faraday, bag.
Bag.
And they sell all kinds of different sizes on Amazon. And so everything is protected. But, yeah, if it's plugged in and you got one of these EMP shields, then you're protected. So, look, everybody should watch these videos and get the information. And down here, there's these people who are contracted out. They talk about the solar flare, the EMP shield, the detailed information, how it went down, when it happened, how they were contracted out. And also, all of our satellites are now protected, too. So we're in good shape there with that. But your house is going to fry. Your car is going to fry. Your generator is going to fry. You're not going to be able to protect it unless you do something. Anyway.
That's good advice.
We've got to move on. So.
Good. Well, I hope to be working with you, and we'll see where we just take this to its conclusion.
Well, absolutely. And again, we want to build a small army of people. Anybody that's interested in this, if you're out on social media a lot and you understand how those things work and you put things out, maybe you can list your... get a hold of Jan at nationalliberty.org. Tell them you'd like to be on that team. And then what we'll do is once we create a role for you, we'll be able to send an email out on maybe a weekly basis or whatever we're going to do. We'll brainstorm messages we'd like for to go out.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I've already been touting your name on Gab. I've gotten a few replies and thank yous for it.
Great. All right. Well, that's how we're going to build. And if we get a small army doing this, you know, we'll get the word out, and hopefully that small army will grow and grow and grow. And so if you're on there already, it's just, you know, cutting and pasting a few messages a week here to get. And of course, you can say whatever you want about NLA. Use your own words. But there are specific messages we would like to get
memes
out.
Are good. Memes. Have somebody make some memes for you. They like memes. You know, one of those, instead of using text, say it all in a picture. Come up with 4, 5, 6, 7 different pictures with different messages, and then we just put that on there. It's called a meme. And they love that. They love these memes.
If anybody can think of one and create one and send that to jan@nationallibertyalliance.org, and then we'll share it with everyone else. So,
okay. All right.
You know, we'll
sounds maybe, good.
If people list themselves out there, you know, again, we'll get the message out through an email on a regular basis, once a week maybe, to those individuals with a list of different messages we'd like to get out to everywhere, you know. Everywhere.
Okay.
To go to Facebook, to go to, you know, whatever they're out there. There's so many of them.
So anyway, just to make it short, I've been listening to a lot of the past Monday night calls, because I haven't been taking part in the Monday night calls except for maybe the last 3-4 weeks. And so I'm actually going back to the first of the year, and I'm going to be listening to the Monday night calls while I'm driving and stuff like that. I'm getting started with the Committee of Safety, and I'm going to be contacting my local sheriff. We're going to do all of that. I know the process. You don't have to go through your whole Committee of Safety process. I've heard it 2 or 3 times already, and it's really good. So, but I understand it, and so I've already downloaded the books. Haven't read them all yet. So anyway, good night, John, and thank you so much. We'll talk to you later.
Appreciate that. And one other thing, I don't know if you're aware of our course, Court Access in the Common Law, that I've been teaching on Saturdays. It's a live course.
I haven't gotten into it yet, but what time on Saturday is it? Because I teach music on Saturday at 12 noon Eastern.
Yeah, well, it starts at 12 noon Eastern, but you don't have...
Yeah, so I won't...
Well, look at it. You'll get as much of it. We record them. So everyone, you'll get as much at a recorded one as you would at a live one. The only difference is we have an open forum at the end, and so. But if you have questions and you're watching on the record, you know, you can always come to the Monday night program to ask the question concerning whatever you have in the course. So you get just as much out of it. It's posted indefinitely. People will have access to it indefinitely. They'll be able to watch and listen over and over and over again. We also put them in MP3s, so that people can download the MP3s and listen to them on their phones or their MP3 players or whatever they have. I mean, I find that to be a great way, an unbelievable way to learn, is to put those MP3s on and just listen to them over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to the Anti-Federalist Papers recently, and before that I was listening to the Federalist Papers. But with the Anti-Federalist Papers, I'm on my third time around. And every time you go around, you kind of pick up things that you missed because you don't have 100%
right.
On it. But it's going in the brain anyway. It's up there. So,
right.
And as
I call that time shifting. I call that time shifting. So that's what I'm going to do. I'll get involved with that Saturday teaching, and I'll do the time shifting. And if I could make it on a regular live program, I will. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Our Monday night programs, if people can't make it to them, they're all recorded. You just go up and listen to them, throw it in your car, or you know, if you have a plug into your car to play MP3s or your phone or whatever, it doesn't matter. However you listen to it. Okay, thank you. We're going to move to our next call.
You're welcome. Talk to you again. Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right. God
bless.
Okay, Brett, you got the mic. What is your state? Go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
We got you. What state you from?
Wisconsin.
Okay.
Hello?
Yep, go right ahead, Brett.
Okay, so I have this ongoing issue. So I was wondering, at what point do I move a case for cause? Is it after trial court or before appellate court? Or before trial court or after appellate?
If you're moving it for cause, it most likely is because you're not getting due process. You could move that immediately at any time. It's right down, right in the middle. Just shut
okay.
it. And not that you'll be successful all the time, because remember, these federal judges are as corrupt as the state judges. Maybe more so, because they know the truth. Some of these state judges may be just that stupid, you know. So, but okay. But moving it for cause, you know, again, hey, they're only going to give you a problem if it affects the status quo. But if there's no jurisdiction there, or if they violate your right of due process, okay, you move it to federal court, that's their job, is to champion the Constitution. That's their primary job, and that's what they need to do. And just make sure you write a good wherefore clause, and in that wherefore clause, and you can get it right up online. We have a lot of good clauses in there. The main one that you want to get done is a cease and desist. You want an order from that federal judge for that court to cease and desist. And that's what you're focusing for. So, yeah, you could do it any time. Hey, you could go, you could deal with this even if you were tried, convicted, and went to jail and came out and then realized, hey, wait a second, they never had jurisdiction. You can go to a federal court for cause and have that whole thing turned right upside down and also get some restitution.
Yeah, well, it's a stupid situation. We discussed it before. They're coming after a minor child and
right, I remember.
Going to trial now. I just received.
You need to shut that court down real quick. I remember the call with you, but we spoke a couple of times on this.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I did something wrong in the paperwork or it's how. I just don't understand what's going on.
Are you taking the court access course?
I am.
Okay, because once you get through to that, you'll have an understanding. You see, the problem is people may get something and use it, but then what do I do next? And if they don't move it and push it, no one's going to move it for you and push it. You got to move it yourself. And when you move it to federal court for cause, you literally have to move it to federal court for cause. You're the one that has to do it. You have to file the papers into the federal court, and the process is right there. But, you know, again, you know, we have it up on in the course itself, and we also have it available to people under Education Starts Here in Law. And you click on Law, you highlight Law, and you come over to Court Forms and Process. I think you have to be a premier member to see that page. It's one of the very few pages that we require people to be a premier member. I think that and the other one is our educational page. Not the educational page, but the court access and the common law course page. Those are the only two I'm aware of that requires a premium member. And in this case, you know, we charge $125 for the course. So it's going to be, I don't know, 70, 80 hours long altogether when everything's said and done. But anyway, the instructions for this is here, okay, on this page and also in the course. And it shows you how to move your case for cause into the federal court and just follow the process. But the problem is, if you don't understand due process, which is teaching court access in the common law, if you don't understand the due process of the courts, how it works, you're going to get lost and you don't know what to do next and how to make the argument. There's a lot you need to know about that. So, anyway.
Wow.
Anything else, Brett?
What would I file that in? If it's federal court, do I go to the county court or the a state courthouse?
No, you're moving it to federal court for cause. Federal district court. You know, we have four districts in New York. Okay, some states only have one district, some states two districts, some states three districts. You just got to find out what district you're in. All you have to do is just go to the search bar and in your browser and just put in, your state and your town and your state and your town. And the question is Federal District 4, New York, Hyde Park or Poughkeepsie, you know, in my case here. And then when you search it out, you'll find a federal court. Also, you could just go look for the federal districts, a list of the federal districts, and you can look it up that way and find out what your federal district is. Okay, then that's where you file it, in that federal court. And so you serve notice, you're moving it to federal court for cause, and you literally bring it, you know, you take the paperwork and you literally file it in the federal court. And you're serving them with a summons. They have 30 days to respond, blah, 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 blah. Just like a court case. They don't respond, they default. Case over.
Okay.
You see, the other thing is, once you have your paperwork, well, I won the case. Why can't I get what I won the case on? Well, because you got to take that paper. You got to take it to the clerk. You have to file an affidavit of default, if that's the case. Or if you won the case, you bring it to the judge for the signature for the sheriff. You know, you have to write a paper what you're looking for, the, you know, using your wherefore clause, that has to be executed by the sheriff, okay? Or if it's a default, it's an affidavit of default with a notice of default into the court, and you bring it to the clerk. And you look at the affidavit of default. They look at the default. They look at your wherefore clause. If the wherefore clause doesn't require any interpretations or is problematic, you've got to be clear with your wherefore clause, because that creates a problem then. So as long as they don't see any problems, they'll stamp, you know, you bring two copies, one to file with the court, the other one to get stamped. Then you go down to the sheriff and ask the sheriff to serve it. They go out, they'll collect for you, and that's that. They take 10% of everything you get. Anytime they serve, they'll take 10%, 10%, 10%. You'll get all your money, because the 10% will be covered within the restitution. So it'll be 100% of your restitution plus 10%. So they'll ultimately, at the end of the day, will collect 110%. So we don't pay for that. They pay for that, whoever you sued and you won your case against. Now, you can also, before you take it to the sheriff, you can let it know, hey, look, you know, you can talk to them and say, you know, you owe me this money. I got my order here. I can take it down to the sheriff. He's going to collect 110%. Give me the 100%, and we'll leave him out of it. You can do it that way, too. It's kind of a leverage to try to, you know, leverage them to settle right away.
And that's after filing it in federal court, or?
You have to file it in federal court. Then you have to get either your affidavit of default or a decision from the judge. If they respond, then you get the decision from the judge. Then you bring it to the judge, and he signs it, and you get a stamp on that, you know, a seal, and you take that to the sheriff, and it gets executed. So people don't know how to collect. I mean, it is that simple. This is called due process. Everything we're teaching is due process. All the motions you put through, due process. Your discovery, all part of due process. You got to keep moving the court. If you don't move the court, then no one else is. Your court will sit there and just die on the limb there. After a year, throw the case away.
Even jurisdictional challenge, that's due process as well, correct?
But yeah, that's part of due process. Anything that's going through the court has a due process. And due process has not been injured. We have the due process. The problem is the execution of the due process. Because look, at these people are evil. They don't even obey their own rules and their own laws. I've had two defaults already, and judges let people back in, and they're unable to come back in, because once you default, You have to prove two things. You have to prove two things before you can get back into the case and defeat that default. Number one, you have to have a real good reason. The fact that you went on vacation is not a good reason. You know, your mother died, that's a good reason, okay? You have to have a real good reason. That's number one. But there's a second thing required also. You have to show that you have a chance of winning the case. So those two things have to be proven before they can throw the default out. And in the two defaults that I had, it wasn't even near the possibilities of being met. And the judge, being crooked and evil, brought these. One was a U.S. attorney. Matter of fact, two of them were U.S. attorneys. brought him back into the case. Unheard of. Unheard of anyways. They don't care. They break their own rules. So it's a problem. But, you know, you can still make your case because on the other side of devolution, you can resurrect it.
Okay, I challenged jurisdiction and sent out an affidavit of default, everything notarized, but I did it by mail. Would that have been wrong, or should I have taken that in person?
Well, no, in order to, first of all, you have to do it properly. If you're going to do, if you're going to move to federal court for cause, you have to put it with a summons, okay? And you have to go to the federal court and file it, okay? And then serve it with a summons. And you can't serve it. You have to have someone not part of the case to make the serving. You have to have an affidavit of service. See, all this is due process. That's what this is.
Right.
And have an affidavit of service, okay? And then then they have 30 days, usually, is what I give them. You know, and if you serve them personally, it's just 20 days, okay? But, you know, I, from now on, will always use a sheriff or a professional server instead of the mail, because if you can get them, then you got 20 days to respond, and cuts 10 days off of their response time. But in any event, and also they can't challenge the service either. You know, the sheriff serves it, they can't challenge that. So anyway, that's part of the process. And then you get into the court. If they default, then you just go down to the clerk in the federal court, and you do affidavits of default, bring it to the clerk for, again, filing. They'll stamp it and file it, and you have two copies. They'll stamp the other one. That's the one you take for the sheriff. And they just want to make sure the wherefore clause is clear, that there's no confusion there. And if that's done, if there's confusion, then you got to go see the judge. And then you might lose some of it because even the judge might see it being too confused. You've got to be careful with your wherefore clause. But that's what you need to do. Now, if they do show up, okay, well, then you make your argument in court. They have to prove that they have the jurisdiction over you, which, what is it, a town court?
It's a village, small village.
They absolutely, 100%, without any doubt, do not have jurisdiction over you. There's not even, hands down, they do not have jurisdiction over you. You will win. You should win, hands down, in the federal court. And you don't discuss the issue. Federal judges cannot, the federal courts cannot hear the problem. All they can know is hear the challenge of jurisdiction. They can only hear the violation of your unalienable right. That's called, you know, for due process jurisdiction. That's what's called the cause. It's a cause of a violation of one of your rights. That court violated my right of due process. They don't have due process. If you go look up any court, you'll find out the jurisdiction is listed, what jurisdictions they have. And you'll find that they don't have jurisdiction there. You can even, you know, read that off and, you know, type that into your paperwork.
Now, my question is the original jurisdictional challenge. I did that by mail. I sent that to the small village court.
Yeah, and jurisdictional challenge, right. And they probably ignored it, okay? And then you have to, that's when you don't have a choice. You got to move it. But this is what happened to me last time I did this. Okay. I went into the court. I challenged jurisdiction. Okay. The jurisdictional papers went before I went into the court. They had it there, prosecutor, cause they do prosecutors in these courts now too. They used to not do that, but they have that. And, so they got a copy. I went into the court. I said, well, did you see my papers, judge? What papers? No, I don't know what you're talking about. Of course, I didn't have a copy with me. You know? And same thing for the prosecutor. They played dumb also. No, I don't know what you're talking about. But what happens is they send my papers back to me, the clerk. And then I advised the judge. I said, you know, the removal of these papers is a crime. 2 years in jail, and your clerk has sent it back to me. And here's the one they sent back right here. So I had mentioned that to the judge. But the thing is I told them that they didn't have jurisdiction. And I told the judge that once jurisdiction is challenged, it must be decided. And I filed the paper, and I'm the only one with an affidavit. And the other side, your prosecutor didn't file a paper, didn't rebut my paper. So my paper stands. We don't have jurisdiction. It's a default to begin with. And I told them I'm not coming back here if you're going to require me to come back into this court, then I'm going to move it to federal court for cause and sue this court. And they went aside and talked a little bit, and they came back, and they tried to make a deal with me. And I said, no, I'm telling you, I'm not taking it. I'm taking it to federal court. I'm done with this. And he went back and talked again, and the judge says, okay, stay case dismissed. And that was it. But, you have to push the judge a little bit, but you have to be careful. You have to be polite. You don't want to threaten the judge in any way. Just talk about the law. I'm moving it to federal court for cause, and I'm going to sue the court. They're the court. In other words, I don't have to tell them I'm suing you and I'm suing the prosecutor. When I sue the court, that means I'm suing those two individuals. That's what that means. They know what it means.
Prosecutor and a judge?
That's right. So, anyway, they threw it out. And I decided I'm not paying any tickets no more. Usually, look, when I file a paper in the courts, I'd say half the time I never hear back from the courts again. Never. Okay? The other half of times when I do hear back from them, I just paid the fine because I don't have time and I don't want to go to federal court and I'm too busy, you know, so I would pay it. Not that I get tickets often anyway, you know. But the last time I got one, I decided I'm just not going to pay it. I'm not doing that no more. So that's my attitude at this point. I'll go make money. I'll take it into federal court, spend some time, make some money, restitution for, you know, denying my due process and so on and so forth.
Could they hold me in contempt or arrest me on site for speaking about...
No, that's why you do it on paper. You do it very polite. You don't get into many details. Okay, you just say the basic truth of the facts of the matter. You don't have jurisdiction. My paper is unrebutted. My paper rules the court. I've had judges tell me, well, I decided I have jurisdiction. Slaps his hammer down, and they move on the case. And this was the days of hard knocks. I didn't know what to do next. I had to learn the next step, you know, again and learn it. You know, everything's a learning process. So it just takes time. But you can learn from other people's hard knocks and errors and so on and so forth.
Right. So my them receiving the paper is the same as me being in the courtroom on that day?
Well, I wouldn't count on that because, first of all, they're dumb or they're ignorant. There's nothing more dangerous than ignorance in action, and they might put out a warrant for your arrest that they don't have the power or the authority to do, but the sheriff and everyone else thinks they do, and so do they. So as long as the people believe and everybody believes, then they have that power because we gave it to them because of ignorance. See, that's why we have to know the law.
Right. Well, they're ordering my minor child to appear before them.
You need to file it right away. You need to move this case, okay? You challenged jurisdiction. Well, what happened? How long ago did you challenge jurisdiction?
I sent it out certified on January 6th.
Sent out a notice and nobody answered or responded? They didn't send it back?
They sent me a letter about reaching out to the village prosecutor for pleading not guilty, but we didn't plead.
No, you go down, you file an affidavit of default, and you file it with the clerk, and you get a stamp on that affidavit of default.
Do I go to that particular court?
That's where you go, to that clerk right there. Whatever the clerk court is, that's where you go. And you get your affidavit of default, and you require them, you bring two copies, one for the court and one for you to take away with it. Then you go and file and you move your case into, because they're still not doing nothing now, okay? You filed an affidavit of default too, right?
I sent that to the village and to everyone involved, but still nothing.
Take it to the clerk and get a stamp. You have to have a copy of yourself with a stamp, a seal. You know, they'll stamp a time stamp on it, okay? And, you know, it'll be different colors, usually red and blue, you know, on the stamp or seal or whatever. But in any event, you get that. Then you you can see what the court does next. But if you're concerned about that and you wonder continuing on with things, you better be real concerned about it. Now you go to the federal court, and I'll tell you what, you're talking about a lot of stress put upon you and your child. You talk
yes.
about you need to look for some serious restitution. You have to figure that out. And I always do it in Morgan Silver dollars. At least, $1,000 in face value of Morgan Silver dollars. That's like $26,000 last time I looked at. And I'm sure it's more than that now. Probably about $35,000 for every 1,000. And because it's like $35 a coin. And in your case, you might want to do a couple of thousand. And you're going to want to do one on the judge and one on the prosecutor. And for every violation of your unalienable rights, you have to figure out what they may be, because you've got to have that in order to get into the federal court. Each one of those is an injury. So if you're going to go for $1,000 face value Morgan Silver dollars, you're going to have to judge for the one count and then the prosecutor for one count, and then you'll take the second count on another violation. Another $1,000 to the judge, another $1,000 for this. Oh, and maybe this is the third one. So if you've got three violations, three injuries of your rights, you're talking $3,000 if you're charging $1,000 an injury in Morgan Silver dollars. And so, like I said, let's say it's $30,000 just to be simple. So at $30,000, at 36, that's $90,000 for each one of those individuals. And 90 plus 90 is $180,000. Okay, so whatever it is you think, I wouldn't go too crazy. I've seen people do things literally in the billions, total insanity. I have no idea where they think they can come in with that kind of a number. And you don't want to just throw millions around either. You can build up to a million. I have a case where I've built up to over $800,000. Not that I've collected it or anything yet. It's kind of in limbo right now. But I will get to it eventually, probably on the other side of devolution.
So do I take the same paper that I created or make a new one, like with today's date, and do it all over again?
No, use the one you gave them an affidavit of default. Then you take that affidavit of default. And that's sufficient. Take that affidavit of default, go down to the clerk, refile it with the clerks. If they don't have it, say, I'm filing with the clerk. Have two copies, one for them, one for you. Have them timestamp it. Now you go to federal court. Now you go open up, move it to federal court for cause. I wouldn't even wait for them anymore, because they're just ignoring you. And then, look, after a while, it probably has taken all this time because they're not sure what to do with you, but after a while they start to realize this guy doesn't have a clue of what he's doing. And they see you get to the point where you're not doing anything and you're becoming silent, and that's when they're going to make their move on you. You need to make the move first.
Okay, so I take the go get it stamped, and it has to be only two copies, or can I have more than two?
Well, you can have a couple copies if you want it.
But one stays with them, and I keep the rest, correct?
Yeah, you keep whatever. You have two or three done, then you keep it. That might be wise to get two, because one will go to the sheriff, and you can still keep one.
Okay, because it's the question is still there. Do I appear at the – and this is next week. Do I appear by myself or with my
Well, if you better move quick to move it into federal court, then you can go over there and you can tell them, well, look, I filed a default, and I also filed with the federal court for cause. They should have paperwork also, because you're going to file that in the court. You can serve it on the judge and on the prosecutor. And then you go to court that day that they want you there, and you let it be known, hey, this case has been moved into federal court. You don't have jurisdiction. I've challenged it. You've ignored it. You defaulted it. And you're still continuing going forward. You're breaking the law, moving to federal court for cause. And they got the papers. They'll see the money that you're suing for. They'll see the damages, and they'll start to shake up a little bit, because, those judges are really, really morons. They have no clue on the law at all. They have a one-week crash course on judgeship, and they don't really learn the law. They learn only how things are supposed to go. And then the prosecutor, who's a bar attorney, they're the ones that tell the judge what to do, really. They control the court. ultimately, because judges always confer to them, and they'll tell them, well, you got to do this and you got to do that because that's the law. And the judge will do this and they'll do that. You know, so they don't even really, they're not ruling on their own anyway.
Can they back out of it and dismiss it if they find out it's been moved for the federal court?
They can back out. They can dismiss it. You just say, thank you very much, but I'll see you in federal court. If you want to go get the damages, continue the case.
Okay.
Anyway, I got to move to the next caller.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Judge.
All right. Okay, next caller looks like Robert. What state you're from? 903 area code.
Yes, I'm in Texas.
Robert from Texas. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I know we're running out of time, and maybe we'll address.
Yeah, I'm. I don't know if you can hear it. I'm pretty sick, and I was going to try to get off early tonight, but I didn't. And it's pushed 11 o'clock now. So I'm sorry to everyone else in the queue, but I'm only going to take one more caller after Robert, as long as it's short, and then we'll be back next Monday. Next one will be Jim from PA. But go ahead, Robert.
So Bill and I covered most of what we were addressing earlier in the call tonight, and it seems like the Lord has given us everything we need on a silver platter.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
You know,
okay. Coupled with prayer, we cannot fail.
Yeah, well, it's time for action with those prayers. And with your website, you know, all that information, you know, it's just a huge part of the victory. And the way I'm looking at this is we've got 3,140 some counties in America, and each of those has a courthouse and a commissioner's court. And, you know, they have regular meetings. And I'm thinking we could sort of develop our committees of safety from going to those commissioners' courts and speaking during public participation about the things that they are doing that are wrong. And trust me, there's a lot of it that is wrong. And
where are you looking to discuss this at? Where?
I'm sorry?
To bring information to who to discuss the things that you're doing wrong? Where?
Well, it would be addressing the commissioner's court, and I presume every county in America has a...
If you're talking about the commissioners for the juries, is that who you're talking about?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with... it's administrative court. You know, they handle the roads, the jail, the sheriff, the constables.
You're not going to get anyone to agree with you. They're all controlled, at least mentally. No. By bar attorneys, they've been poisoned. They're all poisoned, and you're not going to get one or two of them or any of them to change their thinking. The only way you're going to get them to change their thinking is to bring people together with a proper state of mind, a frame of mind, which is government by consent, and organize correctly, and get at least 20 or so people together to start moving on things, and then that's when they're going to listen. But you got to get the sheriff on your side. You got to educate him. That takes a little bit of a time. You got to get your paperwork together. You got to get, your charter together, and you want to get that to the sheriff, along with your resolutions and your seal, and you want to get him a copy of the book, handbook, sheriff's handbook, and also a copy of Government by Consent.
Yeah.
Get that to the sheriff. And then you want to have the real meeting. You don't want to have a long meeting with the sheriff, a short meeting, and then you want to have the long meeting later on after he's at least reviewed some of the materials. You need to get him on your side, get him to come to your meetings, or at least send a deputy who can then inform the sheriff on what you're doing. And then you're building things up. You know, the whole thing is laid out in the handbooks, but that's how you got to do it. But you want to get people that are not lawyers and are not in the system, because they're hard to turn. You know, not that you can't, but I don't know.
Maybe I think Bill might be better at explaining it. I'm a terrible orator. the idea is the people that show up at court are interested in the government, and they are perfect candidates.
Get arrested.
I'm sorry?
I'm telling you, they're going to send a cop out to you, a police officer from in the court. They're going to send you out and say, hey, you can't be doing this. It's against the law. You can't do it in the building. You can't do it outside the building. They're not going to let you do it. People get
you're
arrested.
Right.
Trying to change, you know, teach things about common law to people going into the courthouse. And
have you ever publicly participated at a administrative commissioner's court?
No, I haven't. Don't know what that is, to be honest.
Okay. Well, they handle the roads and the emergency management. They handle they set the sheriff.
Yeah, they're working in the government, right? Government employees.
It's every Tuesday at 9:30 in Texas. They have a meeting. They have an agenda. We have a Texas law that says that anybody that wants to speak on any agenda item, you know, has 3
okay.
minutes.
All
now,
right.
When they do stuff
that.
Like...
Hold on. I don't see a problem with that. You could do that. I don't think it's going to get anywhere. You only got 3 minutes.
It's all right. We had like 30 people show up last Tuesday.
That responded?
I'm sorry?
They responded in a good way? You're showing up, you're saying 30 of them?
We had the court just totally filled. The judge is being a tyrant, and we have a law that says if you have an agenda item, you have 3 minutes. This is a Texas state law to address the court, and the court cannot contradict you or keep you from your.
I'd like to discuss this issue further, but I don't feel too well. It's hard for me to even speak right now.
Yeah, and it's past my bedtime. So, when can we maybe just talk privately?
I would prefer talking in public for the sole reason for other people to learn. That's why we do the open forums here, and I try to make myself available. So I make myself available once a week for 2 hours, and people can come ask anything. We can give them answers, or if we don't have the answers, we'll find it. But by discussing things like this, you see, I didn't understand what you're doing and who you're approaching, and I'm getting a little bit of a bigger picture, and I'm very interested in hearing what you have to say, because maybe that's something we can add to, especially in Texas.
It's an ideal way to find people that are already activists, but they don't know how to aggregate, and the NLA would be the perfect place to do that.
Let's pick this up next week or the week after, whenever you can come back again. Let's pick it up. I really want to discuss this with you.
Or if you can listen to the last 20 minutes of Thursday's call.
Yeah, if you can send us an MP3 copy? An MP3?
No, it's on your website. I listened.
Oh.
It's on your website.
Where is it at?
It's under the Monday night call, but you scroll down, and then it has the dates in agenda order, so the most recent one will be on the top of the list. So it's just like your Monday night calls, but you have a recording for Thursday night calls as well.
Oh, okay. So it was on a Thursday night call?
Yeah, it was last Thursday. And Bill, I didn't catch his last name.
All right. Who ran that? Was that ran by Terry?
I think so, yeah.
I run the discussion group every Thursday night.
Okay, can you drop an MP3 copy into my Skype, and I'll listen to it when I get a chance?
And I'm not sure we covered, you know, it wasn't specific like I wanted to address tonight, but it was kind of a general approach. And
well,
it just
John,
seems like it, set us up, and you know, we're each county could be our Lexington or Concord that would, you know, really get the ball rolling for saving.
Yeah, there it is. That's it, John. That's the recording. This is
Okay, I'll save that right there, and I'll listen to it tomorrow. And let's you and me try to talk again, Robert, if it's not next week, but next other week. But let's talk some more.
Okay, I look forward to it.
I got to get going. Jim, I'm going to take it real quick because all right, thanks a lot.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
All right, Jim, I'm going to take you real quick. I only want to spend a minute or so because I need to get off this thing and get to bed. I feel terrible. Maybe take some.
Okay, John, it's Jim, Pennsylvania. I just have a speaking opportunity for NLA. I wanted to, it's coming up June 19th to 25th. It's called the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's in Lancaster, New Hampshire. And I have a friend, reverend friend, that could get us a speaking slot. But I just wanted to get this to you ASAP because it's going to be June 19th through the 25th, and we have to make the arrangement.
Okay. June 19th through the 25th?
Yes.
Okay. I would have to try to do it on a weekend if possible. In New Hampshire? Where about New Hampshire?
Lancaster, New Hampshire.
Lancaster.
At Rogers Campground.
Okay, and they're looking for speakers?
Yes.
And how many hours can I get? Can I get a couple hours?
Oh, heck, I don't know how much time, John. I'll just have to get back to you on that one, but I did contact you about the other...
You have my phone number, don't you?
Yes.
Give me a call tomorrow or the next day, whenever you can.
Okay, will do.
Okay. We'll talk then. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, I apologize to the other people left in the queue, but I really got to go. I'd stay later if I could, but my voice is going here. So, all right, thanks everyone for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday, and hopefully we'll see a lot of you on Saturday, and we'll pick it up from there. Good night, everybody. Thank you.